This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're pleased to welcome our longtime friend and longtime NBA insider, Matt Moore of the Action Network, joining us from Denver. And Matt, before we talk about the association, do you care to comment or react to John Calipari leaving Kentucky and heading to Arkansas?
I'm still trying to process that one as a former citizen of Arkansas. It's crazy to me.
It definitely is. That's quite a score for the state of Arkansas and the school as well. So that'll be interesting to play out. Well, let's talk about the defending champions, because you're in Denver, Matt, and we've seen them play better basketball since the All-Star break, kind of like them settling into their championship mode. How dangerous are they as a potential candidate to get back to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, they're the favorites coming out of the West, I think, for good reason. I think that that's where they should be at. The biggest thing with Denver is their advanced metrics aren't going to blow you away. They actually have a losing record versus the other top eight teams in the Western Conference. But the problem is that most of that has come in various rest situations, et cetera. And we've seen consistently that when the Nuggets really put their foot down, when they give their best effort, they present more problems for the rest of the league than anybody else. And they're able to solve more problems that other teams try and present better than almost anybody else. So Denver, I think, is very well set up. They don't need the one seed, but they might get it. They will have the best player in any series that they're in. And they are extremely confident about their chances. They got Jamal Murray some rest. Aaron Gordon sat out Monday. They're probably going to rest a little bit more this week so that they're ready to go. This team is absolutely locked in. Nikola Jokic sent a text message after All-Star break that really got everybody locked in, coming back to work, and that's carried through. You're seeing better leadership from Jokic this season. They aren't as deep. There are ways that they're not as good offensively, but they're much better defensively. If I had to pick one team to say who's going to win the title, I would definitely say Denver.
What did the text message say?
Just some version of, it's time to lock in. That basically, when coming from Jokic, who doesn't really do a lot of that kind of thing, sent to the entire team, you know, impressing upon them, hey, it's go time. Let's get serious. And they had lost three before the All-Star break and came out and ripped off a 15-2. And that really got them excited. When Jokic sets that kind of standard, when he engages like that, the rest of the team meets him there, and that makes them very dangerous.
Mm. The stats may not be as gaudy as some others in the NBA, but I don't know how you cannot include him as an MVP candidate. So while we're talking about the Nuggets, who else is in that conversation?
I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to probably finish third now behind Luka Doncic, given Luka's impressive finish to the season. But if I had a vote, it would definitely go to SGA second. SGA has been the guy for a team that was number one in the West for a long period of time, with the youngest roster in the league.
Right.
His defense is very underrated. He's a guy that makes plays on the defensive end and then converts them on the offensive end. He's the primary engine for a top five offense in the league. He's phenomenal in so many areas. He's been absolutely terrific. I think Luka's going to finish second. I think he'd be third on my ballot. He's the other guy that's gained the most momentum. Obviously, Luka's stats are incredible.
Mm.
It's been kind of interesting just seeing, like, they don't win by as much as you would think with him on the court, and they don't win overall as much as you would think with his production. I think there's a little bit of diminishing returns with his usage and how much he has the ball. But look, the guy's numbers are absolutely categorically insane. And with the Mavericks' real strong push after the trades they made, that they're finally healthy, I expect Luka Doncic to finish second in the MVP voting.
And it's so challenging in the West. The Timberwolves and the Thunder, as you point out, they're so young. They've managed to stick around. So what gives them such staying power at the top?
I think in OKC, a lot of that comes down to Mark Dagnall and the way that he coaches that team. I expect him to win Coach of the Year. They are so prepared. And for a young team, like, they're the opposite of what Memphis was these last two seasons before this disaster year of injuries, where Memphis could fly really high, but when they got rattled or shook or when they started to get too far over their skates, they tumble and fall. The Thunder aren't like that. They're very even-keeled. They go down by double digits. They hang with you. Oh, hey, look, they're back within range. They've got great shooting. They've got great defense. They struggle with size, but they present so many problems on both ends. They're just absolutely exceptional. You know, with Minnesota, this is more a veteran group than you think. You know, you got Mike Conley and Kyle Anderson. Rudy Gobert's been there a long time, and they've got different guys that have bounced around. Monte Morris, they've got guys that have had experience in the league, and that's kind of how they approach things. They have a very super professional approach. I was in Denver for the game where they beat the Nuggets last week, and that was a monster win for them. That clinch tiebreaker gave them control for the one seed, and I went in the locker room, and usually when like that, music's blaring, guys are hollering. It's, you know, it's a celebration. Wolves are all business. We're just like, nope, job's not finished. That's the best team in the league across the hall. Like, they were nothing but complimentary of Denver, and we're just like, we're trying to get to their level. That was really impressive to me. Those little things in your identity matter a lot for not getting too up or too down in the playoffs. And with Anthony Edwards and how great he is, and their defense is a work of art, and also a horror film. It is terrifying what they can do. So both those teams are a little underrated with their chances of making runs in the playoffs.
We've got just 11 games from the one seed down to the 10. We know it's only the 10 teams that are still alive, don't really have the seeds yet, but the Rockets are officially eliminated. How much separation is there from, say, Denver down to Golden State?
There's a fair amount of separation from Denver, OKC, Minnesota. I'll put the Clippers in that conversation despite their late season struggles. And then I'll actually include Dallas because Dallas has separated itself. I think then you get a gap. I think the Suns and the Pelicans and the Kings with all their injuries, the Lakers and the Warriors, those teams I think are still trying to figure themselves out. And you see this a lot with the Lakers where they just don't consistently perform. And that's been Golden State's problem all season. And Sacramento's had baffling losses. The Pelicans will look awesome one night and just completely wet the bed the next. And the Suns have done the same thing. Phoenix went into Denver. Back up. Phoenix lost to the Spurs without Victor Wembanyama, go into Denver, beat the defending champs in their building, then lose to the Thunder without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's maddening what Phoenix has done. And so that's kind of the difference is the top five in the West have been very consistent with the exception of the Clippers over about a month or so, but they've started, I think, to turn the corner, and the rest of the conference is still trying to figure out who they are. The top five in the West know who they are. If one of those bottom teams figured out in time, they can make a run. But that's what separates, I think, the top in the West from the bottom is those teams know who they are.
LeBron doesn't play on Sunday. He had flu-like symptoms, and Anthony Davis leaves with an aggravated eye injury. Still, they give Minnesota a battle. What I've been impressed about is that the Lakers aren't just those two. For a good portion of the year, they've had contributions from other places. D'Angelo Russell, as long as he stays healthy, he's played really well. Are they in a different place than they were at this time last year, or same Lakers?
Ooh. I don't think they're going to catch as many teams by surprise. I think they got a very fortunate kind of bracket last year where they got the Grizzlies who were imploding, the Warriors off a seven-game series with the Kings, and we see the following year the Warriors just kind of losing steam. That championship magic is fading. And so that kind of changes the perception a little bit. But here I think is the key. If the Thunder somehow sneak back up into a top-two spot and the Lakers get a seven, okay, the Lakers can beat the Thunder because of the rebounding advantage. Now they're in a second-round series, and if they're facing the Nuggets, that's tough. But they've been in all the games versus Denver. Now, you actually have to win the thing. You don't get bonus points for losing by small margins. You got to win the thing. But they've at least been able to hang. And they've been able to hang with just about everybody. And that gives you a chance. But I continue to feel like a lot has to go the Lakers' way. And I'm not sure that they have enough guys or coaching edge to be able to find those advantages in a series. So, you know, look, could lightning strike? Absolutely. Right sequence of events, they can make a run. I'm not counting them out. But I do think that they're going to be in the play-in for a reason, and that's going to make things very difficult for them.
Matt Moore is with us from Denver, covers the NBA for the Action Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So lots of drama in the West, should be delicious in the postseason. In the East, it's a completely different story. I know the Boston Celtics made a couple of moves, Kristaps Porzingis trading away Marcus Smart, bringing in Drew Holiday. But what has given them such incredible juice this season?
It's a great question. I think a lot of it has to do with how much sacrifice they've been willing to make. Jason Tatum in particular probably deserves more credit than he's been given for taking a step back. His numbers aren't gaudy. That's why he's not in the MVP conversation, because you can't stack up his 28 per game with Luka's 35, with his 7 rebounds per game with Luka's 11, et cetera. But everybody's sacrificed. Drew Holiday, you know, does the work, shoots corner threes, plays good defense. Derek White has played like an all-star, but when he's not needed, he doesn't try and force it. Jaylen Brown's been sensational. This has been the best season of Jaylen Brown's career. He's had great chemistry with Kristaps Porzingis, and KP has made everything kind of work. They've also had, you know, to their credit, I worry about their bench in the playoffs, but those guys have been terrific. Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, Luke Kornet, all these guys have contributed. Xavier Tillman, all these guys have contributed. It's one of the differences. Usually with the championship contenders, they have expensive starting fives, and so they win those minutes, and they have to try and survive the non-star minutes. That's how Denver is, for example. The Celtics win all their minutes. Like, it doesn't matter who's out there. Jason Tatum's not out there, don't win. Doesn't matter. They win by 11. Kristaps Porzingis is out, doesn't matter. Win by 11. They win all of those minutes, and that's a testament to how Joe Mazzulla has coached, but it's also a testament to the sacrifice those guys have made to make sure that they play as well as they can together and not individually.
35-3 in Boston, which is by far the best home record in the NBA. 62 wins and counting for the Celtics. Now, the Bucks have actually clinched a playoff spot, but Matt, they are 15 games back. The number two team in the East is 15 games back, which I don't even know how to process that. So who does have the best chance at giving Boston a battle in the postseason?
Yeah, there's two teams I look at, and it's not the Bucks. I was on this before they started sliding. I'm out on Milwaukee and have been. I think they had to fire Adrian Griffin from everything I heard, but hiring Doc Rivers was the only choice available, and it just wasn't a good enough one. Doc's won a championship. He's won a lot of games in this league. He's a good coach, but he's also not a guy that finds a lot of answers in playoff series, and that's tough when you're not the favorite. The Knicks and the Sixers are the two teams I like the best. So the Knicks, everyone had kind of dismissed because, oh, Julius Randle's out. No, Jay, nobody's not back. He's come back. I don't think they need Randle. Now, Randle's awesome. That's a two-time All-NBA selection. Julius deserves all the credit in the world for his career. He's awesome. But if you look at how they play, it's Jalen Brunson pick and roll with shooters around him. Julius Randle doesn't affect that. The model is still there. Julius Randle doesn't mean that their defense is missing a key component. The rebounding gets a little bit worse, but they have great rebounders all over the floor. And I think if you look at the Knicks, if they're able to get into the Bucks bracket, we saw it tonight, that is just not the team Milwaukee wants to see. Jalen Brunson's going to tear their defense to shreds because of specifically how he plays. And then the Sixers, it's real simple. Embiid's back. This team was a monster when Embiid was healthy before he got hurt. I mean, they weren't just good. Their advanced numbers were better than Boston. Now, that doesn't mean they're better than Boston, because Boston kept doing it for a much longer time. But it does show you how good this team can be at its peak. So I think the Sixers are very dangerous to make a deep run. I think the Knicks are very dangerous to make a deep run. I think those teams are live versus Boston, but because Boston struggles late in the clutch. But look, Boston has to be a huge favorite in every series. They have done nothing but tell us that we should expect them in the NBA Finals.
How much motivation is there from the last 3 years of disappointments?
I think a lot, but I also, to be honest with you, I think it's one of their traits is like they don't get too up or too down. I think it's a lot of it's their core is so young that they're like, we have time without really realizing like, no, you don't. Like if you swing out so many times, things fracture and break. If they can't get it done this season, not all, just because of the expectation, but when is it going to be better for you? When are you going to have a better chance? When are you going to go 35-3 at home? When are you going to have this level of margin over the rest of the conference? When are you going to stay this healthy? Yes, the Celtics absolutely should win the Eastern Conference. They also better win the Eastern Conference because if they don't, I don't know that they're ever going to get a better chance to do it than right now.
Hmm. What are the chances the Miami Heat could stir up trouble like a year ago?
Always dangerous. I mean, here's the thing. It's like the conversation every week in NBA is, can we count out the Heat? No, probably not. we just got to accept that they're going to be there. The zombies will always be lurking in the background. You know, they ran out of steam versus that Pacers team today, but they were down double digits and dragged that thing back into a one-point game at the finish line. The biggest thing is the NBA regular season plays at one pace and the playoffs play at another. And Miami is one of the best in the league, along with Denver, at you are going to play their pace and you don't have any say over it. They're going to get you in a one possession game late. And more often than not, they're going to find a way to come out ahead. The rest of the basketball stuff, size, strength, lineup versatility, shooting, playmaking, all of these things, they don't stack up. But when you have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, and most especially when you have Eric Spoelstra, you have a chance. So I'm not counting out Miami in any way, shape, or form. They're going to have to either lose in the play-in or lose 4-4 in a playoff series before I'm going to say that they're done.
You've got a formula that works for them, and it may not be something that every other team can do. It's not just personnel. It's the coaching. It's really the culture. And, yeah, for whatever reason, you get to the playoffs, and Miami just becomes a different force.
Yeah, and a lot of that, you know, I think it is Jimmy Butler, and we'll see because he's getting older, and there's a lot of questions with Miami media right now about, like, is he going to be able to do this again? Can they step up? You know, Tyler Hero's back for them. He was gone last year, and late down the stretch, he hit a monster three, drew another three-shot foul. He also gave up some really bad defensive possessions, and that's the balance that they're going to have to find. They got to find guys that are going to do what they did last year. They got to find Gabe Vincent, who shot like 45% in two series versus the Bucks and the Celtics. They got to find Max Strus, who did that. They're going to need great shooting, outlier shooting. That's how they make runs, but they always seem to find it. We'll see who that's going to be. But I have a lot of confidence that somehow, some way, the Heat are going to find what they need to be competitive in the playoffs.
Matt Moore covers the NBA for the Action Network on the cusp of the playoffs. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the marriage. It's tenuous at best between the Bucks and Doc Rivers. Who are some coaches that are on the hot seat or maybe some places where you expect coaching changes?
Yeah, I mean, you already saw Steve Clifford in Charlotte transition to a front office opportunity there. That's the most obvious one, I think. No expected changes in Atlanta with Quinn Snyder. It's been a disappointing season, but nothing really expected with Quinn Snyder. He's expected to stay there for now. Big changes for the roster, especially this summer, but not with the coaching staff. Elsewhere, if you look around, Detroit, Monty Williams is on too big of a contract, so there's no expectation for him to kind of shift. Chauncey Billups is a big one, I think, in everyone's mind. There's been indications lately the Blazers are going to give him one more year, but I would be a little bit surprised. I think Billups is, you know, who just got announced for the Hall of Fame, so not great timing there. Ugh. But I think given how bad they've been under his tenure, I've kind of said, like, look, there's not a better coach in the league right now if you want to secure a top pick than Chauncey Billups, because his bad teams are bad. And so I think that's really the one that you have to look at and wonder. I think that also Portland is a better opportunity than Charlotte. So I'll be curious to see who goes where. And then you've obviously got the situation in Brooklyn, uncertain with who's going to be their next head coach.
this is not in any way related to a coach in the hot seat, but I'm thinking about San Antonio, and as we watch the end of the season play out, yes, they have Victor Wembanyama. There's a lot of excitement around him. He's been terrific. But, man, how long is this rebuild, quote-unquote, going to take in San Antonio? Those years when they were one of the top teams in the NBA and consistently a contender in the postseason, they seem forever ago, Matt.
They do. I would also say that I think the turnaround could be pretty quick. There are teams that you watch where you're just like, what is this team doing? They look like they have no idea what they're doing. And then there are teams you're like, okay, they're not talented, but there's structure here. Like, they understand how to run things. That's San Antonio. Like, Pop's still doing the work there. A lot of conversation about both Trae Young and Darius Garland as potential offseason additions for them, depending on what happens with Donovan Mitchell. That would be a big get. It does the indications of the trade deadline were that the Spurs were looking for immediate upgrades. Now, they got to get guys to buy in, and free agency is going to be tough. But I do think Victor Wembanyama changes that perception a little bit of guys being more willing because they know how different this guy is. You know, you want to say great, special, whatever. He's at least unlike anything we've ever seen before.
Right.
So I still think San Antonio will find a way back. The question is going to be, you know, where's Pop at in his career and in his life when that happens, and how long does he want to do this for?
We are right there at the NBA playoffs, about to settle in for what is always a compelling couple of months and should be really good in the Wild Wild West. You can find Matt Moore on Twitter at HP Basketball. He's an NBA writer for the Action Network, also has the Locked on NBA and Locked on Nuggets podcast. One of our favorites here going back now, gosh, 12 years. Matt, thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Anytime, Amy. Thanks so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.